Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We trust you, and we love you. Thank you for this week that we have lived. Thank you for the trials and tribulations and the good times. Thank you for that hedge of angels you have about us while we're walking and while we're sleeping. Thank you for all the answered prayers. Thank you for taking your time on some of the answers as well, teaching us long-suffering and patience. And thank you, Father, for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness, blessing us with a letter of rain, the faith that moves mountains, the character of your Son, and eyes that see. Thank you for blessing us each and every week with an opportunity to share our faith with as many as possible. Thank you for blessing the ministry the way you have with the technology and getting us upgraded. Thank you for blessing us with an opportunity to expand the ministry too and help young men and women to go forth and share the faith around the world, one-on-one, or one before thousands, which is our prayer, that many millions come to the saving knowledge of your Son. Thank you for blessing our efforts and their efforts. Thank you for blessing all those that help us in this ministry and in this church, this little Seventh-day Remnant church. We thank you, Father, for blessing all those that help us keep the work going, bless them physically, spiritually, and financially. And thank you for blessing us all with salvation and with your Son, Jesus. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. It's been a busy week. I want to praise the Lord before we start. So far, it appears that we will have a building for what we've been praying for the last 3 or 4 years, 5 years, I don't know, for a school. Sister White calls it a school of the prophets. Samuel, of course, called it that as well, because that's where he went when he was a kid. And whatever we call it, we call it. You know, we're just going to train young men and young women to go forth. And we may be moving anywhere between the 15th of October to the 1st of November. So please keep it in your prayers that the Lord expedites it, protects it, and blesses us with the finances to continue it. Because we are not going to ask man for help. He's given us he's opening the doors, and so he's going to have to, you know, he will do his part as he promised, and we will do our part as we promise. So let me put this in the room real quick, or burn it onto the server, rather. Okay, it's locked in. So if anybody falls out, this is what you're going to see when you come back in. All right. And we may already have a couple of students that's still up in the air. I know for a fact we have one student. There might be another one that a young man, and there may even be a woman that will be coming out if the Lord wills it. And but it's going to, just to give a little bit of an advance warning, they will have to be of our faith, of course. And they'll have to be known by us. You know, we can't allow any infiltration into this situation, so it's going to be very highly guarded. So thank you again for keeping it in your prayers, because the Lord heard them. The Lord definitely heard your prayers as he heard ours. Oh, where's it going to be? In our little neck of the woods out here in Indiana. And so it's... Samuel started the School of Prophets? Okay. I thought that, I'm sorry about the mental typo. who was I thinking of, the little kid that went in? Maybe I got a name mixed up there. Like I do with Peter and Paul. I mix up their names all the time too. What will it cost? That's, The first year it's going to be about 1,000 a month. The second year, and from that point forward, if the Lord says okay, just buy it outright, because we're doing the thing with option right now, it'll be around twice that. No, about 1,500. Yeah, about 1,500 a month, just for the place, on the second year till the 30th year, however long we get the mortgage. But the first year it's only 700, about 720 a month. No, I'm sorry, 1,000 a month, because you get the utilities. So, oh, what will it cost to attend the school? I can't see it costing anything at this point. You know, the young men will have to work, and get a little part-time job out here. I can't see charging someone to go to the school. It does not make sense to me. You know, I just can't see doing that. The Lord will provide. If these young men need to have the education, I cannot see stopping their education because they just don't have money. So the Lord will provide that. I'm not going to ask the students. I mean, the students will tithe, but wherever they tithe, that's up to them. You know, as long as it's a ministry or a church that is of the same faith, of course, we'll explain that to them. But I'm not going to force them to tithe to us. But. Okay. For those of you listening on the radio, thank you for being here. We're in Ministry of Healing still, chapter 35. How many chapters are in this book, by the way? We've been in there a while. I think it's around 40. We're almost done. I know that. We're way past the halfway mark. The CB thing too. Yeah, all the students will learn how to. We'll get a ham radio license too. Well, we'll get into that later. All right. Ministry of Healing, chapter 35, the middle of page 422, and it's this section's entitled "Character of God Revealed in Christ." Yeah, okay. We'll talk about the school after the service, but after the service, we also Brother Gary is going to be sharing with us. He's going to have a sermon, and then after his sermon, we'll finish the service, and then he's got a lot of wonderful news that he's going to share with us regards to the him and Jeff went to Mexico and shared our faith with them. And so I want to hear that, and I want that on tape. And so and then after that, we'll have questions and answers, and, of course, we'll share in regards to the school. So continuing, character of God revealed in Christ. Taking humanity upon him, Christ came to be one with humanity and at the same time to reveal our Heavenly Father to sinful human beings. He who had been in the presence of the Father from the beginning, he who was the express image of the invisible God, was alone able to reveal the character of the deity to mankind. He was in all things made like unto his brethren. He became flesh even as we are. He was hungry and thirsty and weary. He was sustained by food and refreshed by sleep. He shared the lot of men, yet he was the blameless Son of God. He was a stranger and sojourner on the earth, in the world, but not of the world, tempted and tried as men and women today are tempted and tried, yet living a life free from sin. Let me stop here for a minute, because that song keeps coming into my mind. We've heard it, all of us, we've probably heard it. You go to the store to buy food or clothing, whatever the case may be. They've always got rock music playing now on the in the stores. No one wants you to be alone with your thoughts. They always got to have that atmosphere, they think. But you've always heard that one song that if God was one of us, a slob like one of us. That's one of the lyrics in the song. This one girl sings it in such, it's such a lovely, gentle, and touching song. She's just slamming God all the way throughout it. In all her little symbolism, if you will. Because even the devil uses prophetic symbolism, but it's his own symbolism. He does take some of the symbolism of Scripture and twist the daylights out of it, too, and even leave it in its truthful form, because he always mixes truth with error anyway. But how they are so blind to the fact that he was a stranger and a sojourner on earth. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was weary. He was sustained by food and refreshed by sleep. I mean, he was like one of us. He wasn't a slob, but, he was like one of us, and they just don't get that. And it's not so much that they get it, it's just that they're so deceived and forced into believing a lie. And a lot of times that strong delusion allows them. You know, there is a strong delusion upon them. And yeah, I noticed we're getting a lot of fallout, but there's nothing. I already rebooted the server last night, so there's really nothing I can do about that. I'm wondering if it's because I have to record using the laptop. Maybe I should record upstairs from now on instead of the laptop, but that's too hard to run up and down. So, or I can record it on the radio server. Maybe I'll try that. When the church service starts, I'll record from the radio server instead of recording from the laptop. Because the laptop is that one thing that it says, POGM recording. Because, oh no, that's right, I won't be able to record from the radio server because that is using Vista. So I'm sorry. I don't think it's a bandwidth issue. Let me knock it down to 11 because we're at 15 now. There, we're at 11 now. So that should stop some of the fallout. But still, if it was really on my end, everybody would be falling out. All right, continuing. Tender, compassionate, sympathetic, ever considerate of others. He represented the character of God and was constantly engaged in service for God and man. And then she quotes from scripture wherein it says, Jehovah hath anointed me, he said, to preach good things unto the poor. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to proclaim the year of Jehovah's favor, to comfort all that mourn. And that's Isaiah 6 verse, or 61 verse 1, Luke 4:18, Isaiah 61 verse 2. She goes on to say, love your enemies, he bids us. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. And that's Matthew 5, verse 44 and 45, Luke 6, 35, Matthew 5, 45 again for some reason, and Luke 6, 36. And then Luke 1, verses 78 and 79 says, through the tender mercy of our God, the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The revelation of God's love to man centers in the cross. Its full significance, tongue cannot utter, pen cannot portray, the mind of man cannot comprehend. Looking upon the cross of Calvary, we can only say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And of course, that's the globally known verse, John 3:16, thanks to all the Christians out there that have placed big posters of it at even at sporting events. You know, I mean, that's a verse that I would think many, many, many people know. Christ crucified for our sins, Christ risen from the dead, Christ ascended on high is the science of salvation that we are to learn and to teach. This is our duty. The next section that we're going into here is called It Was Christ. And she quotes from Philippians 2, verses 6 to 8, starting right off, and it says, who, existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. I mean, it's just not death, it's death of a cross. I mean, if you understand the science of crucifixion, you understand why it's repeated here, because that is a very graphic way to die, very humiliating way, a very, very, very painful way. He did all that for you and me. And continuing, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. Wherefore he is able to also save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And that's Romans 8:34 and Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 4:15 says, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Again, that song comes to mind. Or the mindset of the people come to mind, thinking that God didn't walk in our shoes, but he did. Because finishing it up, it says, but one that hath been in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And this is what we as the remnant strive for. To get to a point where you can go for an immense long period of time without committing any sin whatsoever. And it can be done. You can go days, you can go weeks, you can go months without committing a single solitary sin that you know of. Now we know, I know, we all know, we're all sinners. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we do in fact sin. But we also understand that we still do commit sin even when we don't know we're doing it. But our Father winks at our times of ignorance. We are not held accountable for sins we commit that we just simply don't know our sin. He knows our heart. He knows when we do that sin that we didn't know it was sin. And so he doesn't hold it against us in any way, shape, or form. But the sins you do know about, you can stop doing them. Oh, and a lot of the preachers and pastors, I'd say, you know, their forehead is loaded with their eyebrows jumping up saying there's just no way that that can happen. You cannot stop sinning. But I'm here to tell you you can. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can go days on end. You can go weeks. You can go months. You are eventually, you know, going to slip up because the latter rain hasn't gotten you to some extent. But the latter rain's not here to even help you stop sinning either. The fact of the matter is, when your faith gets that much more intensified, you see more of a reality of how disgusting sin really is and how it really is just not something you're interested in anymore. But you can stop it. Try it. Try going a day without committing any sin whatsoever. Then when you do that, try going 2 days. And I did, in the beginning, I messed up and I started keeping track of the days. You know? And when you start getting up in a large amount of days, you start thinking a little highly of yourself, and you don't want to do that. And so just think of it as this way: another day without sin. Don't count them, just another day without committing any sin. I have a little pop-up on my screen saying another day without sin. And every time I see that, if I didn't commit any sin the day before, I go, thank you, Jesus, because Christ our righteousness, there's no way I could have done it without him. And so Jesus is telling us, look, you can do it because he did it. He's our example. And that's what the Gideon band are going to do. They aren't going to commit any sin during the time of that, you know, that great. I don't know if they do, you know, I would imagine they're going to be, you know, forgiven anyway because of the fact that we understand that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But some of us know exactly what I'm talking about here. Something's going on. And I'm not talking about the end times. We all know what day we're in. But there's something going on in the mind and the heart of the Christian in today's world. You know, why is he getting us to a point where we're trying everything we possibly can to stop committing any kind of sin whatsoever? Why are we just so concentrating on making him smile, making him pleased, making him happy? Irregardless of how ridiculously intense the trials and tribulations get, it's getting to the point where it's not moving the child of God. It's not causing them to step away from him. We're being tried and tested. Continuing, it is through the gift of Christ that we receive every blessing. Through that gift, there comes to us day by day the unfailing flow of Jehovah's goodness. Every flower, with its delicate tints and its fragrance, is given for our enjoyment through that one gift. That big G, gift. The sun and the moon were made by him. There is not a star which beautifies the heavens that he did not make. Every drop of rain that falls, every ray of light shed upon our unthankful world testifies to the love of God in Christ. So think about that the next time the enemy comes against you. And even when they come against you in... Well, you know, 99.9% of the time, they are going to come against you, or the enemy is going to come against you and your next-door neighbor. It could be your spouse. It could be a loved one. But keep this in mind. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And so that being said, when you look at them, and even if they're on your front lawn with a big old ATF on their chest, and they're pointing a gun at you and your loved ones, you can still have that love in your heart saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, as Jesus said on the cross, or as Stephen said, Father, hold not this sin against them. if they really knew what they were doing, because they have the opportunity to gain faith and gain Christ as Savior and be part of that Gideon band just as the rest of us do. The rain falls on the just as well as the wicked. They have as much. Father loves them like he loves you. And so when you look at them and they've got this anger and this hatred for you, just think, hey, I still love you, man. If you really knew what you were doing, you wouldn't do it. Because I've seen it happen. I've seen people go from blind, staggering hatred to just falling down in a crumpled heap, crying their eyes out, saying, Father, forgive me. I didn't know what I was doing. And I know that happened to me 23 years ago. Because when his presence came upon me the first time, it was like, wow, am I an idiot? How stupid can I be? It's an amazing thing to be loved and to know you're loved. That's so sad when you think of those, like the little girl that was singing that song. If you only knew how much he loves you. Your heart is still beating, even though you're slamming him. Continuing. It is through the gift of Christ that we receive every blessing. Okay, I got to backtrack a little bit here. Okay, all right, page 425. Everything is supplied to us through the one unspeakable gift, God's only begotten Son. He was nailed to the cross that all these bounties might flow to God's workmanship. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, it says in 1 John 3:1. For Isaiah 64, verse 4 says, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen of God besides thee, who worketh for him that waiteth for him. Amen to that. And the last little section here is entitled, The Knowledge That Works Transformation. I love this type of topic. She says, the knowledge of God as revealed in Christ is the knowledge that all who are saved must have. Let me reread that. The knowledge of God, as revealed in Christ, is the knowledge that all who are saved must have. It is the knowledge that works transformation of character. This knowledge received, there's the key, it's got to be received. I mean, there's all sorts of people out there that know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. But James 2:19 says the devils believe and tremble too. So, this knowledge received will recreate the soul in the image of God. It will impart to the whole being a spiritual power that is divine. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Of his own life, the Savior said, I have kept my Father's commandments in John 15:10. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him, it says in John 8:29. And see, that's one of the things that makes me happy and some of you happy. Well, most of you, I would think, if not all of you happy, when you realize that you haven't sinned today, let's say, or this week. And you pray a prayer. And you see your Father respond to the prayer, even if it takes him a little while sometimes. Because one of the neat things about our Father is, yes, sometimes he gives you the train to the, he gives you the ticket to the train as it pulls into the station. But as you're praying the prayer, and as the widow that came down like this, you know how the theology of the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and so Jesus says, go ahead and continually ask the Father, as this woman did, kept asking the king to be exonerated. When we keep asking him, he knows it's something that is on upon our, it's on our hearts, and it's a serious situation with us, and it's not something we're going to forget about. And the neat thing about this is when you ask him a prayer that he might take months, maybe even years to answer, while he's getting ready to answer that prayer, he gives you the peace. Knowing, hey, don't worry about it. It's going to be handled. And then sometimes, of course, he just, boom, answers the prayer real fast. But the thing is, keep this in mind. For those of you, because some of us are going through some situations right now and we're asking the Father for an answer to prayer and it just ain't coming yet. But you got to admit, you do see his hand anyway, don't you? Look for it. If you don't see it real good, I mean, keep looking. You're going to see it. You know, he loves you, so you're going to see it. So continuing, as Jesus was in human nature, so God means his followers to be. In his strength, we are to live the life of purity and nobility which the Savior lived. For this cause, Paul says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's another point I want to stop there for, because of what do you see in a lot of the Sunday-keeping churches? What do you see in just about every Seventh-day Adventist church, too, by the way? This is something that shocked my socks off the first time I stepped into a Seventh-day Adventist church. They're all standing in prayer. Standing in prayer. I remember one time reading about, I don't know exactly where it's at in Sister White's writings, but she stopped a guy in the mid-prayer and says, get on your knees. Hey, if the angels can stop dead in their tracks, cover their face with their wings, just to mention our Father's name, get on your knees, man. And I'm speaking to man. You know what I mean when I say man? Because the man was standing there in front of the church congregation and he wasn't getting on his knees. This is a mighty God we worship. Give him the reverence. Give him the respect. You know, I understand sometimes it's impossible. You're driving on the road and you're saying a prayer. You're walking in the woods talking to him. You know, you can kneel every now and then, but be careful. Don't kneel down on those thorns. I did that once. And boy, it messes your knee up for weeks. Really bad, too, those hedge thorns. But sometimes you can't kneel, and he understands that. Not to worry. Don't worry. But in a church service, that's an absolute. Unless, of course, you can't kneel. You know, you got a busted leg, or you're sick, or you're old, and it's arthritis, whatever the case may be. That's why we always say, if you can get on your knees, please do so. That's if you can get on your knees. I'm not going to push it, because he wouldn't push it. So, continuing. Let me backtrack. For this cause, Paul says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 19. We do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Colossians 1, verses 9 and 11. And I underlined with joyfulness because I remember when I first, and we all heard me say the 1,011-day house, and I know my wife's going, would you quit saying that? Because you know, I say it too much, but it is something that we as a family went through personally, and we couldn't find a place to live for 1,011 days. We had to live in a two-bedroom kitchenette, all 10 of us. Okay? That's 7 kids, an infant, me and the wife. Because there's, you know, 8 kids, but one of them was a small human. And during the whole time, I kept saying, yeah, I know I've got to go through this. I know this is my Father's plan. I know this is something that I have to learn how to deal with, but I don't have to like it. That's where I was wrong. Okay? Because now I enjoy the trials and tribulations, even to the extent that, you know, like singing in prison, if you will. But if not, I'm not going to be happy and giddy and doing backflips when a trial comes. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, thank you, Father, for counting me worthy to go through such a thing because I know you've got something planned in the future. It's like my next sermon. It's kind of like an inkling of it. I'm being interviewed for a job I'm already doing. But there's something else he wants me to do in a job. I'm about to get a promotion, let's say, in the work that I do for my Father. And so I'm being interviewed. So he continues to allow the trials and tribulations because, look, if you get angry in a situation, young man, in a couple of weeks from now, there's a big-time thing I want you to do, and if you can't stop getting your blood up, you ain't going to be able to handle that situation. So guess what? I'm going to back that situation off another couple of months. Because I got to tell you, boy, I had a real problem with anger for years. I used to lose jobs because of it, and I used to lose loved ones because of it. And so this is why I was going through what I was going through. And so now when I go through it, I go, thank you. And sometimes you don't know the trial. You don't know what you're going through and why you're going through it. But you will later, guaranteed. We all know about it. We all know about how hindsight is 20/20. We've all looked back. We all know this. Oh, you just hit yourself on the forehead. That's why I went through what I went through. Because now I'm able to handle this situation I can go through this trial with a smile. You know, like we always say, we go through the trials with the smiles. So finishing it up, Sister White says, this is the knowledge which God is inviting us to receive, and besides which all else is vanity and nothingness. Like we were talking about last night, where Solomon said, all is vanity. Because our Heavenly Father has taken care of everything. Anything we try to sit there and flex our muscles up and say, look what I have done. You ain't done anything without your Father's approval or permission. Be back in a minute.